WildTalkRadio.com.
The following program is not intended for children. It contains mild language, violence, sexual innuendo, wink, wink, brief nudity, and deals with mature themes that some may find offensive. Parental discretion is advised.
The Wild Talk Radio Network now presents The Evolution in Online Sports Entertainment.
Hey, everybody, this is X-Flap with D-Generation X.
Hey, this is the Rated R Superstar, a.k.a. Adam Copeland, a.k.a. Edge.
This is everyone's favorite wrestler and mine, Rob Van Dam. You're listening to me because you are listening to Wrestle Talk Radio.
Wrestle Talk Radio.
Who's ready for story time, baby?
Hosted by Tim Stein.
Best there is, the best there was, or the best there ever will be.
The intern, Kane Kittens.
I am the best in the world at everything I do.
Special guest host this week, local indie wrestler Keishi Matsunaga.
I'm better than you, and you know it.
And the producer, Sir Rockin.
Acknowledge me.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Don't stop listening, or I will find you. I know where you live. I have Google Earth.
WTR Sunday night.
And remember, it's okay to play with yourself. As long as you have an action figure.
Fallout of Money in the Bank is upon us. This is WTR Sunday Night Live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. I am the producer, Sir Rock, and joined as always by the now VIP, Keishi Matsunaga.
Yay, I'm part of the Twitch Diamond Mine?
Sure, yes, we'll go with that. I mean, you keep saying you're a guest host, now at least you're a VIP guest host, I guess.
Yeah. Very important podcaster.
Very important. I guess Brent is also technically a VIP, so there's the intern, King Kittens. Who did not unmute. It's good. He's not talking. That's...
Hello?
There we go.
No, there was a problem with the headset when we first called, I guess, apparently. Rock, I am the original VIP, thank you very much. And I thought Keishi was hired to be one of the new male models. Isn't that what the thing is?
I mean, he could be.
But he has... He just has to go by his last name, and then he could totally be one of the group.
But don't I have to have, a whole bunch of, dots and squiggles?
We're working on that. We're working on the translation.
Okay. Just let me know when you get it.
And then there's the one and only Tim Stein.
Yeah, they broke the mold. Hey, everybody. Good evening. Welcome to another edition of WTR Sunday Night. It is about 24 hours removed from Money in the Bank. And we're here to talk about it.
About 23 hours.
I was going to say 23 hours, but I figured, to hell with it. 23 hours and 50 minutes. How does that sound?
Not bad.
Okay, that's close enough, man.
And last night's show was a fun show to watch.
Oh, it set the internet off at the end of it, which I was there for. That was fun.
You were there for it?
I was on the interwebs for the fallout. And
wow.
I'm just going to say this right now. Those of you who bitch and complain about, it's always the same six people who always win. No. And the problem is when it isn't one of them, then you bitch about it. Oh, that's not the guy I wanted to win. You know what? This is not an immediate thing. You got to let shit play out. They've got a reason for what they did. You will find out by SummerSlam. Calm your ass down.
Exactly. There's plans in the motion. They got to just let it
play out.
To be fair, the quintessential person to hold a briefcase like that is someone who now holds the fucking briefcase.
Elaborate.
Money in the Bank is an opportunistic gimmick, which is why sometimes it feels really awkward for a face to have it. That's why when faces do have it, they do the semi-honorable thing of calling their shot.
Usually.
It doesn't have to be like, I'm setting up this match at, you know, SummerSlam with you. We've seen that happen. John Cena. But at the same time, Big E basically called his shot, too. He was just like, by the end of the night, this is being redeemed.
Yeah.
And he did it. Mm-hmm. But yet we've seen Money in the Bank works best when it's that albatross that's hanging around a champion's neck, which means that champion can be in a knockdown, drag out, absolute slugfest, be pulling himself up off the ropes at the end of the match, and then all of a sudden that music hits and everyone gets excited because it's like, oh, this is happening now. And you see that look on the champion's face like, God damn it.
Right.
And with that, the perfect person to hold the Money in the Bank briefcase for a long time was Edge, the ultimate opportunist.
Yeah.
Because when he first redeemed on Taker, and Taker was, you know, bloodied and trying to pull himself up, yeah, Edge walked right in, redeemed it, and was just like, yep, my belt now, and walks away. We saw Seth do it at WrestleMania with probably the most innovative Money in the Bank cash-ins of, yeah, I'm going to redeem it during a goddamn match.
Which was one of the best of all time.
Well, it was great because it was one of those things everyone was watching Roman and Brock go at it, and you were just like, oh, God. And all of a sudden, you heard the music, and that entire arena just leapt to their feet. And he stole the belt, which was perfect for his character. The person who won last night is the perfect person in this situation to hold that belt, or to hold that case. The only other person that could really have done well with it would be Seth, because Seth, as you talked about, and as, you know, the network has talked about in the week leading up, just imagine him haunting Roman at every opportunity. Anytime Roman showed up, you could just hear the laugh, or he would just be standing in the crowd holding the briefcase and being like, one slip up and this is being redeemed. But instead, now we've got someone with the backing of the person not chairman of the board in title, but in all other intents and purposes,
Mr. McMahon.
Yeah, the McMahon family, we'll just say. You've got someone with that backing now with the case, and it presents a whole lot of opportunities moving forward. Plus, he's a smug little bastard, which, again, holding that case, like The Miz, like Edge, like anyone else, is going to make for great TV.
Yeah, so to recap, so Theory lost the United States Championship to Lashley earlier in the night, and then was put into the main event ladder match for Money in the Bank to be the eighth man involved in it. Before we get to that match, what do we think of Lashley and Theory as a match?
It was all right.
I mean, I thought it was kind of what it, I don't know, it was what it needed to be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was one of those things when Theory lost the belt, it was kind of like, okay, they've got something planned for him. And I think we all thought going into SummerSlam, it's, well, he's going to get big match John, and he still could.
He still totally could.
But it's one of those things where he drops that belt, and it was the same thing when Lashley dropped the belt to Riddle, the U.S. title at, I believe it was Royal Rumble? It was one of those things like, okay, there feels like there's something just waiting there. And then all of a sudden, you know, Lashley was involved in taking the belt off of Drew.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, the fact that Theory dropped that belt a little bit after he had gotten it was kind of like, okay, they're moving him on to something else. And plus, putting the belt on Bobby is not necessarily a bad thing because it kind of gives him something to do, because he wasn't going to go into the main title picture. As much as they had him holding up that fan's belt at, What was the pay-per-view just before this?
Hell in a Cell.
You know, he walked around with that belt, and I think everyone was kind of like, oh, okay. And then I think a bunch of other people got hurt, and I was like, well, you kind of need to change plans. You can put the U.S. title on, but you can have him hold the middle belt, and as a face, I mean, sure.
Mm-hmm.
It gives him something to do. But yeah, Theory got moved on to bigger things, and if you need to, in case of emergency, break glass, have him redeemed, and then have this smug, arrogant asshole as your champion, capitalizing whenever you need him to. Because I've heard people say, I can't see him beating Brock or Roman he's not going to beat them in a one-on-one match. He's not going to, you know, put together a 20-minute match with either of those guys. He's going to capitalize when one of those guys got beat to hell and steal the title. That's what that case is for.
Yeah, it's an opportunist case. That's what heels do with the case. They don't call their shot. They're like, hey, I'm going to torture you for a while. Then get it.
I mean, hell, look at when Ziggler cashed in. That was Alberto Del Rio had screwed up his ankle in the match, and then all of a sudden Ziggler came out, got probably the biggest pop of his career, and finally got the belt.
Yeah. So going back to the Money in the Bank ladder match, what do we think of how the match itself went?
Oh, which one are you referring to? There were two of them last night.
We were talking about theory. We're going to continue talking about theory. Talking about the men.
For me, I get why they gave the win to Theory, but the match was ruined when What's-His-Nuts came out and announced announced him as another entrant.
Adam Pearce.
Yeah.
Can I say what my favorite part of the match was?
Yes. No, you've got to keep it to yourself.
Okay. Well, aside
what
from
was it, Brent?
Aside from the fact that Matt Riddle took out the entire field in about 30 seconds, and by the way, that is how you hold a ladder without being seen. Thank you, Austin Theory.
Thanks for paying attention to that one, Brent.
Well, they had the overhead shot, and you could see him, like, cradling the leg. And it's great because you didn't need a referee sliding in halfway across the ring to hold that. Other companies should pay attention. But no, the best part was 30 seconds into the match, you have everyone brawling, and you have one guy standing by a ring post. With his arms cradled in front of him and going to the people in the front row, like, don't tell them where I am. Sammy, we all saw you. We all knew exactly where you were, and so did everyone else.
But wow, I don't think Omos knew where he was.
Shushing the fan in the front row, that was gold.
But oh, it was perfect.
That entire bit where it's like the camera is direct, has him framed directly center. And all the shit's going on around him, and he's just like, don't move, they won't see me.
Yeah, he's
what do you do with the T-Rex?
He was pulling a Drax with a Zargnut.
Oh, it was so good. But overall, I mean, I thought it was good. They were teasing throughout the whole match, Sheamus and Drew, former friends, and they would kind of align with each other, like when they beat the hell out of Theory. That was fun.
Yeah.
When everybody teamed up
to take out Omos.
That was good, too. Everyone taking shots on Omos and then doing the Braun Strowman spot of, let's just bury him under ladders and forget about him for about 10 minutes.
And then everyone picking him up and blasting him through a table.
Yeah.
That was kind fun. Of
crowd surfing and then chucking him.
They actually launched him onto that table.
That was impressive.
I did not think I would ever see Omos fly through the air.
No.
Okay, he may have flown through the air like a concrete glider, but he still got some distance there for his fall.
Yeah, so if you don't know who Omos is, he's a 7'3" man. Big
boy. He's a Nigerian giant.
Yeah, and yet six wrestlers pick him up and launch him into it through a table.
Like, who listening does not know this, though?
You never know, Tim.
Some people may be listening to this to get the full recap. You don't know.
They may have not seen the show. They just may be tuning in. You don't know, Tim.
I got to stop watching Marvel movies because you guys are taking me right now right to Captain Marvel. I can build a spaceship. You don't know.
Maybe they like our dulcet tones. Who knows?
Dulcet tones?
Yes.
Yeah, don't ever accuse this webcast of having dulcet tones.
But we do have hot takes.
Doberman tones, maybe. Not
but everyone got a little bit of a chance to shine here. Riddle, you can see that they see some stuff in him.
Yeah.
Especially after that Roman match he had. I think a lot more people were kind of buying into him as more of a main event player.
Hey, I bought into Riddle a little bit more when he took on Roman. That was a pay-per-view quality match.
Well, I'm sure that helped with everything that they gave him in this match.
Afterwards, yeah.
Madcap Moss got his chance to, you know, put together some spots. By the way, kudos on Riddle giving Seth the super RKO off the Jeff Hardy ladder.
Yes. I was really hoping he wasn't going to screw that up.
Yeah, they kind of landed a little bit sideways. I was a bit worried.
Yep. Well, Riddle, I was watching, Riddle didn't seem to let go until literally they were like just about to touch down, and I'm like, that's too long for that chokehold. So if you watch the RKO, It looks really good at regular speed, but when it's slowed down, you see that Randy literally lifts his arm up. So like there's no tension around the guy's neck at all. Halfway through the drop. Of course, he's been delivering it for 20 some odd years.
Riddle did more of a diamond cutter than an RKO.
It was, I suppose.
Because that's what the difference was. He held on to them longer coming down.
He just needed to get up and go, arms back, chest out, root. Diamond cutter.
Lindsay in the chat room. You're a plague upon this world, Brent.
Taru is an evil, evil being and deserves to be stricken from the world.
Tim's laughing at it. He has no idea why.
Tim has no idea, but Lindsay knows exactly why.
Anyway, Austin Theory is now the Money in the Bank holder for the men. Also on this show, we had the Usos and Street Profits.
I'm going to just, like, before we even get into it, match of the damn night right there. Yep. Holy shit.
I want more of this. I want this again.
I want a rematch, goddammit. When the Street Profits first came up, I was a big fan, but I was the first one to say they're green and need some polishing. Well, I think they got their polish.
Oh, yeah.
The last 10 minutes of this match alone were better than, like, half the matches that we see on TV.
Well, these buggers had me saying Jesus every time.
Every false finish was something where you legitimately believe. Like, normally you get into a match and you're like, okay, yeah, they're gonna start the, you know, two count false finish fest here. With this, it was legitimately like they'd hit a move and you're like, oh, this could really be it.
Yeah, there were
How good is Montel looking?
Montez,
yeah.
Yeah, he's definitely put some size on. I mean, obviously they talked about that for a lot of the match, but I mean, for good reason. Like, he put on that size and he still can do basically everything he was doing before. That's very impressive.
Well, that's... yeah, with that extra size, he's still the only one on the roster that could go toe to toe with Kofi for jump.
Oh yeah,
that jump he does over the corner, and I mean, he clears it easily. It's like Jesus. The one thing I will say about this match I did not like is that they are absolutely telegraphing the possible Street Profits breakup. And with that, you know exactly who the Sean of this team is and who's
Marty.
Probably not going to be long for stuff if that team breaks up, we'll say.
I really hope that they don't. I really hope that this half tease leads nowhere.
Or at least anytime soon.
Yeah.
They can give him a little bit more time.
Or it could also be one of those things where if they want to still push Montez as a single, he can do that while still being a part of the act.
Wait, you mean like the New Day?
Sort of.
Exactly.
You do it like that.
Well, New Day proved that, yeah, it is workable and doable.
Yeah, you don't necessarily have to break up a team in order to give someone a singles push.
But one thing I was really happy about was the time that they gave these guys.
Oh, yeah.
Glad you caught that, Casey. It was
second longest match of the night.
There was room to breathe. You could, and the thing was, is they both worked at times a very fast style, but at times a very deliberate style.
Yep. Well, they obviously had some work with some real stately veterans, because again, you know, it's like Brett says, a wrestling match is a story being told in the ring, and these guys did a hell of a job.
But in the end, Usos retain, but was the shoulder up?
Yeah, the controversy right there.
That was one of the things I noticed in real time. Like, there's times when you see them kind of do the roll up and you're like, all right, I don't know, Jimmy or Jay, whichever one it was, like, he had that roll up really high, and I noticed that in real, I was like, that seems a little awkward. And then they go to the reverse camera angle, I'm like, that's why.
Yes, this one was deliberate, unlike WrestleMania, wasn't it?
Ronda?
Yes, that's the one. Who later admitted, no, I was trying to get my shoulder down, it just didn't work.
Just couldn't quite get it there.
Whoops.
So that'll be good.
Yeah,
Which means we'll get another one of these, and they'll hopefully figure out ways to match or top.
Well, I was going to say, if this is going to be SummerSlam, which is what my guess is, and the fact that you've got the dual belts on the line, yeah, these teams are going to go, okay, we did this, what can we do next? And also, there's one very important element of this match that WWE forgot about. So 2 weeks leading into this, didn't they have a match where they said that the Street Profits would get to choose a stipulation?
No.
Okay. Yeah, no, on SmackDown, they had a match, a singles match, which was, I want to say, when Montez won, and it was for the chance to name a stipulation for the match.
I don't remember this.
Time for typing.
Like, I don't remember. Was it a Raw match? Brent, you need to provide the info here. Like,
I'm doing the research. Hang on.
Like, I don't remember what it was, if it was a thing.
Okay, give me a few minutes. I'm doing research.
I have no recollection of what he's talking about.
There's an article that says WWE forgot about a stipulation for the Usos versus Street Profits. The match was apparently on June 27th.
Yeah, apparently there was. Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, I guess they didn't want a stipulation.
Or now that, you know, the internet wrestling community has gotten a hold of it.
Who knows? We'll see.
Yeah.
So yeah, the Usos are still your WWE Undisputed Tag Team Champions. And then we got to talk about the women. Start with the Money in the Bank Women's Money in the Bank Ladder Match first. It was Lacey Evans, Alexa Bliss, Liv Morgan, Raquel Rodriguez, Asuka, Shotzi, and Becky Lynch all vying for us. The briefcase and an opportunity to become a women's champion in WWE. Thoughts on the match?
I'm not gonna run it down because it was a good match. However, after all was said and done, when it was over with, it wound up feeling a little rushed, and a little short, with a bit too much crammed in to a match that didn't allow for the proper amount of time for what they did. This was my impression after the match.
Mm-hmm.
During the match, it's like, oh yeah, no, this is good. Yeah, no, they're doing good. Yeah, no, that was good. Yeah, no, that was good. Okay. Oh, what's going on? Oh, no, that was good.
There are a couple of sloppy moments, a couple shake your head moments, but you know.
You could tell they had certain spots planned and they were going to get to them come hell or high water, and some of them just did not work out properly.
And that's the problem with some of the training nowadays, from some of the wrestling schools out there. You know, and WWE can be really, really bad for this with, some newer talent. If you botch the spot you have planned, you work out going back to it later in the match. You don't try to get it in immediately. You go on to the next move and then you come back to it.
One of the spots, the problem was you had to have Raquel in the corner with the ladder the way it was.
Yeah.
And then, like, the next person that was trying to get into place was where the error started. Now, in the end, they got the big spot that they wanted to, but it was just, like, that one little bit was just like, oh, wait a minute. I think it was Shotzi was trying to go up the ladder and then went right through a rung.
Yeah.
And it was just like,
she tripped up, but, I mean, she kind of recovered okay. It's not like she, like, fell, went down the ladder, and then ran up it again. She kind of just, like, was like, well, I fell. I'll make the best of it. And she kind of did. I didn't think it was like bad to the point of like, oh, I'm going to run up the ladder. Oh, I tripped, which means, oh, wait, I'm going to go back and I'm going to run up the ladder again.
Yeah. No, what she did, what Shotzi did was fun because she went around and okay, well, never mind getting to the top part. We'll go around and it'll still work. And it still worked.
Yeah. The spot reset was Raquel holding the ladder. It drops off the second rope and was like, hang on. Boom. Okay. Now swing it. It happens. It's fine.
And they did a lot to make her look like, you know, the powerhouse.
You mean like the deadlift with Liv and Becky?
Yep.
She was
just kind of like, she was like one rung too far to one side for that. But like,
still,
I mean, she still got it off the ground. But I think if she was just one more rung over, it would have been a lot more even and a lot easier for her to pick it up.
Hopefully Becky is okay after the leg drop to Asuka, because it seems like she kind of landed her tailbone on the ladder edge.
Oh, definitely. And hopefully Shotzi's okay from landing her back of her head on the ladder instead of
That looked a lot worse than Becky. In real time, yeah, it looked like she may have buggered up her coccyx a little bit. But when I saw it in the replay, I could see, okay, that she knew midair she overshot, and then I saw her adjust. So she actually took that with her glutes, the edge of the ladder, and they still were able to sell it as a not missed spot.
Yeah, Asuka sold that like a champ.
And it still worked.
Oh, 100%.
It's not like Becky missed by like 12 noticeable inches, and then Asuka's flopping around like a fish out of water.
I do have to say my favorite spot, though, of this match was the very end. because you see a lot
like
of
the kickback.
Yeah, you see a lot of people do the pushover ladder spot, and it's like as soon as it starts to go, you see the people like jump off, or you know they're going to hit the rope. In this moment, Liv just put her foot out and was like, "Nope," and pushed herself back.
And the nice thing about her like sticking her leg out that far is like as I was watching her like, "Please hit that rope, please hit that rope, please hit that rope." And when she did, I was like, "Yeah!" It like it gave from like a perspective of like giving the crowd a little bit extra to like try and get behind her. I thought it was perfectly fine as opposed to like, "Oh, she's sticking out her leg too soon." Well, yeah, she's trying to aim her foot to get a rope.
Mm-hmm. Which is a very smart move, because if you've seen enough ladder matches, you know that's coming. And it's like, if that's a defense you have of like, well, wait, if I'm going over, I can use the rope as leverage. It looks brilliant.
It was a small thing, but exceedingly effective. And it's just like the added touches.
Well, and it, as soon as she pulls it off, what happens? She's right there at the briefcase, essentially, again.
Yep.
And so it's just like, yeah, it's a great strategic move. And all of a sudden, the person who thought, oh, I've got this one, is like, oh, shit. Nope. And for anyone questioning whether or not Liv should have had that briefcase, listen to the crowd the second she touched it. They went nuts.
Oh, man, they started going nuts as soon as they kind of realized that she was climbing up there.
Mm-hmm.
And then, yeah, when she grabbed that, it, like, erupted. It was so awesome.
And the thing is if you see the, you know, if you read the social media afterwards, you're starting to see people, you know, this is when you can always tell someone is a really good person, not just on camera, but like behind the scenes, is when they get a chance like this and everyone, face, heel, past, present, are all just like, you go. And that was the case with this. It was like Bailey, Lita, you know, people from other companies. It was just like, yeah, they were all behind Liv. And it was just like, okay, she's put it. And I mean, if you've seen where she's come from NXT to when she was on the Riot Squad to winning Money in the Bank, which is essentially like, we're going to give you a main, you know, like a main title push here. It says a lot. And to have that support behind the scenes. And I mean, even outside of wrestling, you had G4. Which is what she was just recently on, hyping her up and, you know, giving her a moment. Plus, it's someone new.
That's the key word right there.
Well, and I mean, she's been posting all over social media over the last few years about all the extra work that she's been doing to try and get there. So you can appreciate when someone like is doing extra to make themselves better, to earn the spot that they were given.
Yeah. But she put in the hard work.
Yeah.
So now the question remains, what championship will she go after?
She's just going to sit back, relax, and enjoy the victory for now. Thank you.
She did say WrestleMania in her promo.
I thought that interview was good when she said, "I don't want to screw this up." It was like, I'm watching what's going to happen, and I'm going to, you know, make sure when I capitalize, it's the right time. And it's like, okay, yeah, if you're a Money in the Bank holder, that's exactly how it should be. Don't be like, no, I'm totally going to announce when it's coming. Because Drew said in an interview before the event where he's like, yeah, if I win, I don't know if I want to call my shot. Because, like, Roman's got backup, and that lets people plan for what you're going to do. Best thing about Money in the Bank is it's spur of the moment. We can just go now.
So would it be the Raw Women's Championship when Bianca Belair took on Carmella? Thoughts on the matter?
There was a moment. There was a moment when you thought it could happen.
There was a moment. There was a moment.
They did good.
The end of the match where Carmella's walking backwards up the ramp. You're thinking, okay, they're taking some time doing this.
Well, and Bianca's like staggering.
Because Carmella went after her after the match.
Right. Yep.
Yeah, this was smart.
It was one of those like when you're in attendance, you're like, wait, is this it? Is this the moment? And they lingered on that shot on Bianca for a little too long, and then they faded away. It's like, okay, never mind.
Yeah.
But all in all, the match was, it's hard to say because, at least to me, there's not a lot to the Carmella character. I mean, I understand the most beautiful woman in WWE. To me, she still feels very limited in what she can do.
Didn't we get last summer's SummerSlam match last night, in actuality?
Yeah. When she, because she was the replacement for Sasha, who was replaced by Becky, and yeah, so she was now the replacement for Rhea. So at least she got her match.
So this was last summer's SummerSlam replacement match.
Yes, exactly. I was just waiting for somebody to point that out. Nobody did.
Well,
everyone knew knew that, Tim.
No, I'm not going to accept that as an answer. You're not going to get away with it, with that. Sorry, no.
Listen to the rack from Thursday. We talked about it when we previewed it. Sorry.
Nope.
Nope, not going. He's just going to take credit for just being the only one.
No, I'm not going to give you credit. There's a difference.
I mean, I enjoyed the match well enough overall. I thought Carmella did a good job.
It wasn't a sucky match at all.
No, I thought that, you know, like, as far as like being in a match with Bianca, I thought that she put up a good fight.
Now, the question is, did Carmella do good and make herself look good, or did Bianca do good and help make Carmella look as good as she did last night?
I think it was a little bit of both.
Yeah. A little bit of both.
Yeah, because there were parts in that match where Carmella did good stuff that she had to do on her own to look good, and I thought it was fine. I don't think she did any. There was any like super big missteps or anything out of the ordinary that made me go like, oh, that wasn't so super great. I mean, it wasn't like one of the best women's title matches that I've ever seen, but it definitely wasn't the worst.
It definitely wasn't worse. She played her part well, and she took.
I think she did a good job holding her own. She's at least from the first time I saw her wrestle to now, she's improved. Yeah. I think she belongs on the roster.
Personally speaking, I think that match was better than the Ronda Charlotte match.
It was a lot less clunky for sure.
What Ronda Charlotte match?
The one that they had where Ronda won the belt.
Okay.
WrestleMania.
Backlash.
WrestleMania Backlash. I was half right.
So I will say Carmella took the finish, the KOD. Perfect.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, and that nice stall.
Mm-hmm. It was great. So that was the one tease. And then you had Natty and Ronda.
Okay, can we just talk about the spot of the match?
Yes.
Yeah.
Ronda, you goddamn troll. I love you so much. She not only put on the sharpshooter, and I will say correctly on Natty.
No, the second time.
That's the one I mean. So she not only put on the sharpshooter better than we've seen other people recently, she then pulled out a full Shawn Michaels taunt in the middle of it.
On Brett's birthday.
On Brett's birthday.
I mean, yeah, that was amazing. Yeah,
you know those spots were absolutely talked about like yesterday afternoon.
Oh, 100%.
Let's do this. Brett will get a kick out of it. Okay.
Well, and the one thing I'll say that was really good about this match was, like, Ronda is the submission specialist. That's what they've been touting her as. You know, she has the MMA background and everything. But it was really good to see a little bit of the backstory of, like, yeah, Natalya trained her. And in this match, you saw, like, Ronda would go through the judo throw and Natty would roll through it into an arm bar and be like, I know what you're going to do.
Yeah, them recounting it on the mic was a little on the subtle side. But for those in the know watching the match, it's like, oh, God, that's glaring. Yeah. And, that match last night proved my point. Ronda can be carried to a fantastic match by somebody who's able to wrestle a broomstick and get the broomstick over, which is Natalya.
So Ronda.
Because Ronda looked good last night, and it was because of Natalya.
So Ronda would retain the belt.
but she was a little dinged up.
She had a gimp leg there. Her knee was buggered up. Did you not catch that in the match? She hurt her knee.
She did.
It was just tragic.
And Natalya did the right thing on capitalizing on said knee injury and worked the crap out of it.
Gee, ring psychology. Who'd have thunk?
Work it, and work some more.
Pay attention, Hulk Hogan.
He needs to learn that now in his 70s. Or 60s, whatever it is at this point.
Well, he's almost 70.
So Ronda's hurt, so it gives a golden opportunity for Liv Morgan to run out with her briefcase.
She's not going to run out. What are you talking about? No way. It's not going to happen.
It did.
She's going to hold on to Money in the Bank for a couple of months.
Nope. It happened. She ran in and cashed in Money in the Bank and then quickly got put in an ankle lock.
Wait, my favorite part is when you see Liv come running down to the ring, and kudos to the cameraman for once being on the wrestler when they should have been.
Oh, yes.
And
I know where you're going.
And Ronda sees her running in, and you see in full view of the camera her go, oh, shit.
Yeah.
Yep. Oh, that was so good.
It was just like she realized at that moment, like, oh, God. And like I said before, that
no,
is
no,
exactly
no, no, not,
what
oh
the
God,
thing is
oh,
for.
Shit.
Right. But what I mean is, that is the exact perfect moment that that briefcase is for, and the mentality that the champion has of, I'm ding, I'm not at 100%, and this person's coming to run in and fight for the title now.
And I think that is probably just about the only time I've ever seen them capture the beat up champion's reaction.
I think they did it with Del Rio.
Yeah, when Ziggler cashed in on Del Rio, they definitely had him in frame when it happened. He just didn't say, oh shit.
Yeah.
He just looked towards the entrance and what? He had oh shit written on his face, not verbally coming through his mouth.
I was going to say, if anyone would have said it, I think it would have been Ricardo in that respect, because he was also in frame. But yeah, no, it was the perfect reaction for that moment of the champion going, oh shit.
But yeah, she immediately winds up in an ankle lock, and here I am thinking, oh, they're going to do this. They're going to screw Liv over? No way. Because that is absolutely the feeling that I was getting.
That was the same feeling that the crowd had too. Holy.
Yeah. Yeah. And she was in that thing for a while too. Yeah. It wasn't just... Like, I think with someone like Liv, you expected, like, ankle lock, come on, it would probably be, okay, tap, tap, over, and run.
No, it was like a good minute and a half, I think.
It was a minute and a half, and she's struggling, and she keeps getting pulled back to the center, and then clawing her way over, and then it's one of the, like, they had the crowd eating out of the palm of their hands, because every time she got close to the ropes, the crowd was just, like, reach out, reach out! Oh, no, she gets pulled back.
Yep.
And then one kick to that already hurt leg saved her.
Oh, yeah. And the crowd went nuts when it happened.
Oh, yeah. As soon as she got out of that ankle lock, everyone started frothing at the mouth of, is this that moment?
Yep.
And a roll up later.
Yep.
Liv Morgan beats Ronda Rousey, the first person to cleanly pin her in a singles match. Because other ones were not as clean. And non-horsewoman either. To do so. They lock eyes. Rhonda's holding the belt. She's thinking,
here comes the inevitable turn.
Waiting for it.
It didn't happen.
It didn't happen. She embraced, and she hugged her. They said, you know, it's like, oh shit, you got me. All right, good job. You earned it.
Yeah, Rhonda gave her that, all right, you got me. Good job, kid. And just left.
Yeah, she gave her props.
That's exactly, I mean, she understood the whole game of it, and she's like, yeah, you know, you got me here. Good job. But we all know that this leads to 4 weeks from now, Rhonda's going to be like, I'm going to be ready for you next time. And Liv will be a fighting champion. So I wouldn't mind seeing a little David versus Goliath here.
We'll see about
that. Yeah, it would give like Liv a chance to, I don't want to say like establish her better because she doesn't need that, but like giving her the opportunity to go with Rhonda and not, you know, like, put on a match will further solidify that they've been acknowledging the work she's been putting in and the fact that she earned that championship, even if she does lose.
Well,
but they gotta give her, like, they gotta make it a good fight.
And the thing is with Liv, you can play up the whole idea of, like, you've always been close and it took, you know, you taking me out when I was less than 100% to beat me and trying to sow those seeds of doubt in her head. But this could be that moment where, you know, Liv gets over the hump and proves that she can win the big time, which would be good for her and her character.
It would. So we'll see where things go from here. So, Brent.
Yes.
Housekeeping.
All right. We're going to go into pick-ems here. So we had 12 people picking for this event. In 11th place, going 1-5, we had Jobber and The Wheel. Next up in 10th place was me. I had a match or two not go my way.
Or two.
I went 2-4.
Four didn't go your way.
Well, no, there were the two ladder matches are crapshoots because you've got 8 people in them. I thought there would be a title change in one match, and I didn't think there would be a title change in another.
Well, and also they tucked that one extra participant in the men's ladder match. So
yeah, like, no one won that one.
Yeah, nobody got 100% tonight.
Actually, only one person picked the women's ladder match. And that was Subway.
There you go.
I just want to play. I want to put that out there for everybody. The only person to pick the women's Money in the Bank ladder match was Sub. All right, there we go. So we have a 1, 2, 3, 4, a 6-way tie for 4th place between the 8-Ball, Casey, Linz, Rob, aforementioned Subway, and Tommy. Which means in 1st place we have a tie between Rock, Sheila, and Tim at 4 and 10.
Hey, good stuff.
And Rock, I think you have some housekeeping, although I think I know where I stand in that one.
Okay, so last night was Money in the Bank, which was the finale of season 14 of WTR Fantasy.
Uh-huh.
Which means maybe next week we'll do a drift. Be ready for that.
You ready, Lindsay?
You're ready. So there was a very close competition. And then there was a team that,
Hey, look, one part of that team did really well. Let's just put that out there, okay?
Yeah, but not here right now, so we can't give it the kudos it deserves.
The wheel. It's not the eight ball, it's the wheel.
Or the wheel, yeah.
Isn't the wheel always here?
Wheel's always here.
The wheel's always looming.
So
the wheel's not here right now.
So waiting, Brian.
Spinning, clicking.
It's always there.
Wrestler 3.
What was that again? So, Brent, you tried to make a comeback this week. Your team, like, tried so hard. Okay? Would you like to
You mean my personal team?
Yeah, you combined tried really hard this week.
All right.
How many points do you think you got to, you know, catch up?
Oh, I'm sure. I know I was down at least 100 something to both y'all's teams.
But how many points did you get this week to just kind of bridge the gap?
4.
Four? Only four?
Probably. Hey, I had a lot of people that lost Money in the Bank, okay?
Okay, Brent. Team Corner for week 14, or week 24, had negative 24.
Yeah, I know that. Between Sami Zayn and a couple of other people on that team, yeah.
The wheel was negative 18, and you were negative 6.
I thought so.
So,
yeah,
like,
yeah.
Didn't even come
Which is funny, because, like, for the whole of the season, it, like, I was battling you for, like, top points.
Yeah.
For the whole of the season, like, I was right there with you as part of that. And then I'd always look at the wheel and be like, oh, look, another negative 14 this week. Yay.
Okay, so.
I had the best and worst of worlds here.
You overall had 277.
Respectable.
The wheel had 20.
Yep.
So a total of 297. So, I mean, it was good effort. Good effort.
As one person, we did amazing.
Yep, big props for you.
Tim was in the lead for a while with top points.
Then stuff happened.
He ended up with 256. So the second highest. Or second lowest, I should say. Tim had 256. So he was high at the top and finished closer to the wheel.
Started strong and finished weak.
Yep. Came
crashing down to earth. Got it.
Lindsay would end up with 274. Casey would end up with 281. I would end up with.
I can't believe Casey beat me.
Is this the part where I get to throw shots at Tim for not towing the line for our team like he did to me?
Yes.
Okay. How many points did Tim get for Money in the Bank?
Oh, for this week? Let's see. For this week, he had -5.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
You had 8.
Hey, that's better than Tim.
Yeah.
+8 is more than -5. I'm glad you're able to do math, Casey.
Well, I should be able to do math.
At your age, you're goddamn straight. You should know.
I just, you know, this is just me getting you back for taking shots at my picks that very much could have gone very poorly at WrestleMania and didn't. So I'm going to take advantage and hope that next round we both toe the line.
Well, you do understand Rock cheated, right?
No, because I don't pay that close attention.
Okay, well, Rock cheated. He does every fantasy. He cheats.
Okay. Right. I'm
going through the teams here. I think Lindsay is the only team that didn't have a suspension or injury affect her team.
Pretty much. I ended up with 305. So the final totals were 297 for Team Corner. Team Canada had 537. Team One Brain had 579. However, there are the mystery the additional points that were never added in at the end till right now that can change the balance like it did last season.
I don't think it changed anything this season.
Well, not for you, Brent.
There were the one's team got an additional 24 points, and that was Team Corner got the 24.
For who?
Grayson Waller. So your -24 this week got a raise.
Nothing.
Got a raise because of the thing. But then and it was 581 for One Brain. Team Canada had 550. So Team One Brain, once again, comes out on top.
Yeah, it's because you cheat.
No.
This is an established fact. You cheat every fantasy.
What's the evidence of this?
What's the evidence, Tim?
You cheat.
I would just like to say,
how?
Fighting with one hand tied behind my back, I still was at least somewhat competitive.
Yeah, 100%.
You're supposed to be on my side.
But I would, I'd like facts and figures to support claims. I'm not going to jump on a bandwagon just because someone else is.
Well, considering Tim had Bailey.
Yeah.
Well, considering Tim had Bailey on his team the entire year, which leveled to an entire zero.
Which cost your
team. I
was
positive she'd be back.
Good
I
job,
was
Tim.
Positive she was coming back.
And, well, where is she?
Not taking back. Pictures at the Performance Center.
There you go. So, yeah, that's the end result of WTR Fantasy. We'll do another day most likely next week because so, SummerSlam's right around the corner. So we'll go from now until the first of the year, so we're ready for the Rumble. So, yeah.
God, we're going to have a season as long as Fortnite. Jesus.
No, our seasons go longer.
Okay. Are you sure?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, that's our show.
That's it. Well, we hope that you enjoyed Money in the Bank last night and that you enjoyed our breakdown and review of it. Overall, I'll give the pay-per-view like a 7.5 out of 10, which coming from me, I think is a pretty, pretty decent mark.
Okay.
What about you, Rock?
I thought it was a good show. B plus.
Okay. Out of 10, you gave it a B plus.
Yeah.
So what does that land out of 10?
8.5.
Yeah, all right, Keishi.
I give it 36 ladders out of 10.
So it's got a good beat. You can dance to it. You'll give it an 85, Dick.
I'd put it on my playlist.
Okay, no, serious.
I don't know how to rate things out of 10. 8.
There you go.
Okay. There
I'd
you
watch,
go.
I'd
you
know watch
how to
it.
Rate things out of 10.
I'd watch it again.
There you go. Brent.
8.2.
Ooh. Look at you being specific as a bugger. You don't really have increments like that, so. But whatever.
On the scoring, on for like Olympic scoring, you do. So
that, this is not Olympic wrestling.
I'm holding up the card of 8.2.
Well, there you go. All right. Anyway, yeah, so that's it for you Canadians. Hope you had a wonderful Canada Day long weekend. For you Americans, a few hours in advance, at least in Mountain Time, happy Independence Day tomorrow. Hope you guys all have a great, fantastic day and absolutely barbecue the shit out of all of that meat. Because what else is Independence Day but barbecues and beer and fireworks? Don't forget them.
Don't set anything on fire.
Well, it's Americans, so just stay out of Alabama, I guess. I don't know. that being said, Rock, tomorrow is July 4th. It's Independence Day. Are you taking it off?
Yeah, we're taking it. Go enjoy things and fireworks and stuff. We'll be back every Monday, usually. Roll Post Show, 11 p.m. Eastern.
There you go. But Thursday is like not anything special day except for it's another edition of the multi-time multi-award winning The Rack Radio Show with the multi-time multi-award winning lovely Lindsay Ward, and of course she'll drag Rock with her.
Yeah, we'll probably talk NXT, Great American Bash, and more. It's The Rack Thursday night, it's 10 p.m. Eastern. Check out The Rack Extra Reviews Money in the Bank, that's now available. You can also check out The Rack Extra Reviews Ms. and Mrs. Season 3, episode 4 and 5, they're both available. The new episode should be available on Wednesday, because that's how it's planned now. So check them all out, RackRadioShow.com.
There you go, and don't forget to use the creator code ROCKINSOCK.
Yes, use creator code ROCKINSOCK in the Fortnite item shop or Epic Game Store. There's Street Fighter things and Naruto, and there was a Biggie song in the game last night. I don't know, do the thing, buy the stuff, hashtag Epic Partner. Also, Fortnite with Friends will be at like 10-ish Saturday.
There you go. And speaking about Saturday, midnight-ish, as close as they can get to it, it's the wild, the wacky, the Friends reunion, CB Radio.
Now that we have passed 10 for the Rack, we're on the road to 15 for CB, midnight-ish, Saturday nights, cbradiolive.com, and vote at thegreatdebate.com.
There you go. And of course, yeah, next Sunday night looks like we might be doing a the new season fantasy draft. What season is this one?
4 or 15.
15?
Yeah. Is it our 15th season?
Mm-hmm. I'm on the sheet right now. So 13 is the last one with the team titles. 14 is the teams listed below. So it would be kicking off season 15.
We'll have to do something.
Wow, season 15 of WTR Fantasy.
We'll come up with some weird point thing for this one.
Yeah.
Joy. All right. Well, for any news and updates and shit like that, you can find out by following us on the socials.
At Wild Talk Radio on Twitter, Facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network, WTR Sunday Night on the Facebook and the Twitters.
Yeah, and of course, speaking about the Twitters, you can follow me at Flames Forums. Hockey's over. I'll be talking football. I'll be talking baseball. I'll be talking dad jokes. A whole bunch of other shit. But, it's just not confined to sports, because I also talk pro wrestling on that account as well. But just about anything. And I do tweet a lot, so follow me at Flames Forums. You should check out Casey, because he's got red bubbles and blue bubbles and green bubbles.
But no check marks.
On his Twitter?
Yeah, you can find me doing social media type stuff on Twitter and Instagram at Kyle Driver. In the description of those, you can find a link to my Redbubble website, which is a print-on-demand site that has t-shirts, buttons, pictures, posters, coasters, all kinds of fun stuff. Take a peruse or just watch me tweet about knee recovery and wrestling things.
Awesome. And of course, Brent.
Yes?
Twitter.
Oh, you can find me on Twitter at Kane Kittens. Usually I have things to say about wrestling or other things when it strikes my fancy. And also, Taru is the reason for 28-3. There.
Don't worry about it, Tim. Don't worry about it.
That being said,
hold on, but hold on, hold on, hold on, hold, hold, stop, stop.
What? What?
If you would actually like to know more information, you go to twitch.tv/Lindsward or lindsward.recradioshow.com and follow along on all the Genshin Impact stuff he's been streaming. So there you go.
Oh shit! Well, there you go. Okay, now say goodnight, Rock.
Good night, Rock.
WildTalkRadio.com.